world's on fire, our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
$75. $75. See what? Yeah. That's what it cost to fill my car the other day. $75. I just kind of sat there and just kind of pondered the fact that, Lord, let the words of our lips and the meditation of our heart be pleasing in your sight, in Jesus' name. Amen. Money, folks, money isn't even real. Money isn't real. And money is nothing more than ability to be able to control us. What taxation is all about at the end of the day, because we know that we're so far in debt, they don't need any of your money because they just print it. And it's nothing but control. Power and control is money. Money. And the sooner we wake up to that and realize that, I wonder, you think, are they really throwing people in jail that aren't paying their taxes? Are they still doing that? I don't know if they do that. They just come and seize all your property, don't they? Huh? See, that's really at the end of the day. The thief comes, kill, and steal, and destroy. By the way, the thief is the hireling pastor. But the nature of Satan is to kill, to steal, and destroy. He uses people to do that, by the way. I don't know where I came from. Communion this morning. And let me say this real quickly as we get rolling here. Joe, our main guy in California, I got a hold of Joe at the prompting of Chad. And I got a hold of Joe last night. I said, Joe, hey, listen, man, you need to take a day off. Joe's in here, comes in. It's 4 a.m. in California. And Joe gets up and does communion for us, and we appreciate it. I said, Joe, you need a break. And, you know, in a sense, I feel kind of bad because I feel like I'm not firing him, but you say, Joe, you need a break. And you know what he said? Yeah, Coach, I really could. I really could. I can sleep in. And so Ray's going to do communion with us here today. And maybe we'll see how we develop so we don't put so much of a pressure on Joe. And not only that, let some of the others get involved with it. I'm not firing Joe. Don't take it wrong, but help others get involved. Because you know, if you listen here regularly, you know that for the most part, we Christians have turned all ministry work over to the guys in the pulpit or whoever the pulpit guy assigns. Right? When the Scripture says very clearly that you, hey Ray, you looking at me, Ray? You are supposed to go into all the world. You are, Ray, not your pastor, not your elder board. You are supposed to. And the religious structure, the way it's set up, you always need the approval of somebody above you. Yeah, Judas says it's a team sport. It's a team sport. And as an old football coach, here's what I know. The football team shows up on Friday night, but it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday where all the work gets done. And so we all show up at church on Sunday morning and there's no marching orders. Nobody go do this. And then people just kind of go their separate way. Some people do stuff. Other people don't do stuff. And what you end up with is stunted growth. You're a Christian, but you don't know how to do anything. And I make this point often. The average Christian man, are you looking at me? Has never prayed publicly, never in his church. Maybe at dinner with his family, maybe, but never publicly prayed. That's sad, isn't it? A simple thing is publicly praying, lifting up the name of the Lord. I haven't done that. And so we're not being trained, equipped, and mobilized for the work of the ministry. That's the purpose of the pastor, to train, equip, and mobilize the saints for the works of the ministry. But see, what else they tell you? Well, Coach, it's not about works. It isn't? Well, when you stand before the Lord, Revelation 21:8, you're going to be judged out of things written in the books. What are the things written in the books? Now, look, it's not a salvation issue. But there are going to be some people, this one is my theory. There are going to be some people when the books are open and the books are read. If I understand Revelation 21:8, a lot of people there. Pull that up, Spencer. Revelation 21:8. A lot of people there at the great white throne judgment, whatever the heck that means. There are a lot of people there. It's Revelation 21. I'm in the wrong spot. Anyway, we're all there. The books are open. The books are open. Where is that, Spencer? I want people to see that. I talked about that the other day. If your pastor's telling you works don't matter, he's lying to you, folks. It's evidence. And I saw a right throne, him that sat on him, whose face the earth had fled away, and there was no place found for him. I saw the dead. I saw everybody, small and great. Time out a minute. What does that mean? Small and great. I saw everybody, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. You might have a business where you have a bookkeeper. What's the bookkeeper do? Why, he keeps records, or she keeps records of transactions. Yes or no? So evidently somewhere, somebody's got a book. And they're watching your transactions. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. It's plural. According to their works. Does anybody see that? So when you run into a pastor or you run into somebody and they tell you works don't matter, folks, they're bold-faced lying to you. Bold-faced lying to you. You don't get to heaven by works. But when you get hired at a job, Gene Schroeder, did you ever have a job? Yeah, you had a job. Hey, Gene, when you clocked in, did they expect you to do works? Did they pay you according to those works? Yeah. Now look, so you're going to get into heaven, but some are going to get a greater reward. I'm sorry. This probably flies in the face of everything that's been taught. And the dead and the small stood before God, and the books were open, and another book was open. Now, wait a minute. He opens up the books of your works first. You see that? And the books were open. What books? He opens up your books, your financial books, although it's not financial. He opens up the books of your works of your life. He opens it first. Then he opens another book. Betty, you tracking with me here? Am I doing okay? He opens up another book. And what's that book? Why, that's the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. Folks, there's going to be rewards at that great white throne judgment. There's going to be most valuable players. Going to be most improved players. Best street preacher. I don't know. Ray, do you think I'm missing it here?
Right on target.
Every church that you go to tells you, it's not by works, brother. It's not by works. Huh? Really? Well, when you became born again, when you came into the family of God, Spencer, Matthew 5. So you got to quit watching that coach. He's talking about works. He said, you got to work your way in heaven. If you hear that, you're dumb on a rock. I didn't what I said. Scroll on down. Okay. Wait. Go back. You are the salt of the earth. Go up a couple. Blessed are you. Go one more. Blessed are excuse me. I like to show this on this because it says, blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are they. Always talking about somebody else, some nefarious they. Peacemakers. But look at this, verse 11. Blessed are ye. Hey, Ray, do you see a pronoun switch? Anybody other than me see a pronoun switch? Goes all of a sudden from talking about those folk to you? Blessed are they, blessed are they, blessed are they. But Ray, blessed are you. When men shall revile you and persecute you, say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, because they persecuted those prophets which came before you. Because why? This is a tag team handoff. You're the salt of the earth. You ain't the sugar. You ain't the sugar of the earth. It's not your best life now. But when salt loses its savor, what you see in America today, the church is basically, for the most part, I use that as a general term, worthless, useless. The salt loses. When the salt quits being salty, good for nothing. Jesus said that. I didn't say that. When the church quits being salty, when the church starts being sugar, it's good for nothing. Cast out and trodden in the foot of men. Okay. Boom. That's what we try to do here. See, I get accused of that all the time. Oh, you're preaching a works gospel. Damn right. Damn right I am. I got drafted onto the team, and now the Lord wants me to play. He wants me to play. He doesn't want you just to go to church and listen to your pastor. What the hell's that? How many of you would go to a football game and see the two coaches talk the whole game? Nobody play, nobody do anything. Got one coach down there talking to his team, another coach down there talking to his team. They do it. You pay $5, you go sit there, you buy a ticket, you watch the whole thing. They talk and they talk, then everybody leaves. So see you next week. We'll have another one next week. Yeah, I got a good show coming. I promise you. Ray's going to lead us in communion today. I think I already said it, but just in case some late turners in. I got a hold of Joe. Joe's in California. It's 4 a.m. out there. He gets up. I just said, hey, Joe, you need a break, man? He said, I could use a break, coach. I could. Stressful week, yada, yada. I could use a break. So Ray's going to lead us in communion today. No, we didn't fire Joe. No. But he appreciated the fact that he, amen. Ray, go ahead, brother. By the way, Hank, pardon me. Yep. Pastor Ray.
I've been accused of that. I didn't go for that title or not, but we just have a small fellowship group that gathers together. We've been doing that.
Hang on, stop a minute, Ray. Stop a minute. Because, see, folks, understand this. These are ministry offices. Sometimes you're the head coach. Sometimes you're the offensive coordinator. Sometimes you're the defensive coordinator. Sometimes you coach the running backs. Sometimes you coach the offensive line. You have to be prepared to play whatever position it is that you're called to play. So Ray is just a multifaceted guy, and sometimes he plays the role of pastor. But he also plays the role of evangelist. And sometimes he plays the role of a teacher. Are you with me, Ray?
So coach, I started off as a bat boy. I had a red band, and I came down to this place where coach was holding a meeting. And I said, hey, I'm here. You need toilet paper? Well, you need cars parked. I'm ready.
Ray, what a great line. You're the bat boy.
That's the way the Lord does things, right? But
amen.
I'm blessed to be able to be here today, and we thank coach that he thinks it's important enough that we do this every Friday, and this is our respect onto the Lord for what he's done, the sacrifices that he's made on our behalf. And I just want to read this first scripture here in 1 Corinthians 10:16-17. It says that the cup of blessings which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ?
Amen.
The bread which we break, is this not the communion of the body of Christ?
Amen.
For we being many are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread.
Hey, I've never seen that. I have never seen that before. Never seen that.
So that puts the emphasis on us as well as to be partakers. When we do communion, we're always lifting up and recognizing Jesus Christ.
Amen.
For what he's done. But he said, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, in which is in you, which is of God? For you are not of your own, but you were bought with a price, and this is the price that we were bought with, right?
Amen.
And
amen.
So,
amen.
Spencer, if you want to move on to the next scripture verse that we're going to close with, before I do that, notice when we do communion, there's only two elements. There's the body, a bread that represents the body of Christ, right? I was getting it up here. And there's the wine or the grape juice that represents his blood. There's just these two elements and nothing else. There's not these two elements plus a whole list of my good works. Amen. There's not these two elements plus I've been to church every Sunday. There's not these two elements plus my beads and my rosaries that I present to him. No, it's just these two elements that Amen. Represent the body and the blood. So
hey,
he
Ray.
Says,
hey,
I'm
Ray.
Sorry, yep.
You are what you eat, aren't you?
That's for sure. Yeah. Amen. So eat of the body of Christ and you become part of the body of Christ.
Amen, brother. Amen.
And don't do it in vain. So he says, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Wow. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner, also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me.
Okay, now, so, Ray, let me pause there a second, folks. I'm not trying to start the fight.
Sure.
But words mean things, right?
No.
Folks, it's the New Testament.
The New Testament.
The Old Testament has been fulfilled.
No.
The New Testament.
Yeah.
Hey, folks, you don't come to Christ by bloodline. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Ray.
All right, Father, let's just pray before we partake. Father, we just ask you, blessing upon our efforts to come to know you better, to come before your throne, Lord God, and to do this in remembrance of you for all that you've done for us, Lord God. It's a small sacrifice, and you say also in another place you word that we have not sacrificed unto blood as you had when you were at the Garden of Gethsemane shortly after you did this act to tell us to drink of the cup. And you went there on your knees and you prayed and you sweat drops of blood. This was no small task that you went through. This was one heck of a sacrifice that you made on our behalf. Amen. And we but woe unto us that we take this thing lightly. We thank you, Lord God, that you did that kind of a sacrifice on our behalf. And we give you all the praise and glory. And may we be worthy, and the Lamb be worthy for the sacrifices that he bestowed upon us. So with that in mind, everybody that's going to partake at this time, just let's partake with the body, the blood. And we thank you for your precious blood, Lord. Amen. Thank you, folks, for that opportunity. Thank you. Thank you, Joe, for doing it every week. It's been a blessing. Amen.
Hey, if there's somebody out there that said, I'd like to do it sometime, let me know. Let me know. Thank you, Ray. Wow. Great, 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 great. Man, folks, I'm in a track that I can't get out of, okay? Will you bear with me again another day here? I cannot get out of this track, and I got to finish it. Remember July 10, 11, and 12. We are doing the event at Sky High, and we're focusing on there were giants in the earth in those days, and the mounds all around us. I want you to see this real quickly, Spence. Pull up number six. How many of you knew this? I'm going someplace. I'm not going to be on the Giants all day. Hang on. How many of you knew this? No, that's not what I wanted, I don't think. Number two. Go to number two. I'm sorry. Folks, this is on Fritz's page. Can you make it a little bigger so I can read that to you real quick? Folks, it's history. 3,000 Nephilim graves laid out. Now, this could be a stage photo, okay? 3,000 Nephilim graves laid out like a modern cemetery were discovered in Ashtabula County, Ohio. You guys know that? During excavation of the ground for graves, bones were exhumed that seemed to belong to a race of giants. This land at one time belonged to Mr. Pegleg Sweet, who was a man of large size and full features, and it is narrated at one time he, in digging, came upon a skull and jaw which were of such size that the skull would cover his head and the jaw could be easily slipped over his face. Think about this, as though the head of a giant were enveloping it. The graves were distinguished by slight depressions in the surface of the earth, disposed in straight rows, which were intervening spaces of valleys covering the entire area. The number of these graves has been estimated to be between 2,000 and 3,000. You guys know this? Aaron Wright Esquire in 1800 made a careful examination of these depressions and found them invariably to contain human bones blackened with time, which upon exposure of the air soon crumbled to dust. Some of these bones were of unusual size and evidently belonged to a race allied to giants. Skulls were taken from these mounds, the cavities of which were of sufficient capacity to admit the head of an ordinary man and jawbone that might be fitted over the face with equal facility. You could put the entire jaw over your face. The bones of the upper and lower extremities were of corresponding size, a history of Ashtabula County, Ohio. Huh? Hey, I ain't nuts, folks. I ain't nuts, okay? Remember what's going on here? Think men's hearts failing them for fear for things coming upon the land. By the way, Fritz is going to be with us on July 10, 11, and 12. Okay, cool. Now, look, stuff, folks, we're in the crucible. Stuff going on all around us, all around us. Are you ready for this one? Pull up. Wait a minute. Hey, pull up the one I told you to play. The one, because it's only 2 minutes, folks. Hey. Do you believe in fallen angels? Because, folks, this is the heart of everything that's going on around us. Okay, it's only a minute. It's only a minute and a half. Go ahead and play it.
Descended and corrupt. Let's talk about the fallen angels, beings who descended and corrupted the earth, giving forbidden knowledge to humanity, and mating with women, which led to the birth of the Nephilim giants. See, the Great Flood was not an act of vengeance, but to cleanse the world of the fallen angels' influence and corruption of mankind. The Book of Enoch paints a clear picture as to how this all happens. Now, Enoch was the great-grandfather of Noah, and walked with God for 300 years before God took him. According to Enoch, as the human population grew, the watchers began to notice something. The men of the earth had daughters. Beautiful women, and the angels lusted after them. Then 200 of these angelic beings formed a faction, creating plans to each take wives for themselves. It was the angel Samjaza who said, "Listen, I know you all fear the consequences we will face from doing this. I will hold all responsibility for our actions." But the 200 angels swore an oath to share punishment for the sins they'd commit. So they descended into the earth and proceeded to take wives, one each. The fallen began to teach humanity forbidden knowledge from the heavens. They taught astrology, sorcery, incantations, how to craft weaponry, jewelry, occult wisdom, the art of beautification and makeup. They taught them the cutting of roots and herbs. Who do you think taught man to engage in these ceremonial rituals and communicate with spirits? And then, of course, the women got pregnant. They bore large giants. These were the Nephilim. They were the giant race that inhabited the old world. At the start, heights were 3,000 cubits. That is taller than the tallest building in Dubai. Eventually, man could not sustain the appetite for these giants, so the giants turned on man and began to devour them. They turned on the animals and then turned on each other, devouring one another through cannibalism. As it states in both Genesis and Enoch, they began to sin against the birds, the beasts, the reptiles, and the world became filled with blood and corruption. We have to read between the lines here. The action of the fallen angels led to their creations, the Nephilim, to develop creatures of their own. The sin here is experimental genetic miscegenation. The earth ended up with a bunch of weird, hungry genetic experiments running around so much it disgusted God. He then sent an angel to reveal to Noah the coming of the end. When we look at other cultural legends around the world, beyond just having a worldwide account of a flood, many of them echo a similar story of sky gods bestowing forbidden knowledge. One of the best theological secrets is that the modern Bible isn't even the original Bible, missing over dozens of books. The history of the fallen angels is sewn tightly together using such books as Enoch, Jasher, Jubilees, the Book of Giants, the War Scrolls, and many others. There's a reason why these books were omitted from the Bible. So whether one chooses to take these accounts as historical, coincidence, or a fairy tale, in an age of corruption, it'd be wise to read these texts at least for the sake of morality. Let's talk about the fallen angels.
Wow, huh? That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Somebody commented in there, angels cannot have sex with women. Well, that's because you're thinking like a human. I'm going to say that again. That's because you're thinking like a human. These are angelic beings. Was it a real sex act? I don't know. But it happened. For sure. Books tell us about it. Okay, hang on. Let me go here. Okay. Number eight. I don't know if you guys have been following this or not. I don't know if you've been following it. President Trump, maybe it's number nine. Pull up number nine. Make sure I got them backwards. Folks, there's an unveiling and a revealing taking place. UFO Insider claims that the U.S. has bodies of four different alien species from downed spacecraft in government custody. What? Scroll down. Folks, Bible says, seeing we're encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. There is a spiritual realm around us. And we know this. The Bible says that men's hearts are failing them, going to fail them for fear for things that are coming upon an earth, meaning the blending and the breaking of dimensions. Time out a minute. Anybody explain AI to me? Mark Trump can. Can anybody explain to me how the hell that works? Can somebody explain that to me, how that works? It's like otherworldly. And it's called artificial intelligence. Meaning what? Meaning somewhere out there is knowledge and AI is able to access it. I don't know. I don't have it all figured out. But these things that are coming upon the earth, wow. So new claims that the United States remains of four separate species of alien life are sending shockwaves through the U.S. Hey, folks, why would the government be revealing this? Scroll down, Spence. I think this is the one. Keep going. Grays, they talk about what kind of people they are. Harvard physicists, keep going. I think we're going to see the Pentagon has UFO footage. They're going to release all of that. What? Yeah, they're going to release all that, going down and show us the four type of species. Keep going. I think it's on this one. maybe it's that other one. Pull that other one up first. Okay. Put this in the chat. Folks, stay there. The four alien species believed to have been previously recovered by U.S. officials. What? The most commonly described aliens are grays. Been a lot of discussion about whether they're essentially designed beings. Reptilians are reportedly depicted as lizard-like creatures. The fourth species, insectoids, reportedly. Folks, this information is going to be released. It's going to be released. Now, hang on. Could be a great deception. Something going on here. Spencer, pull the other one up there because they're going to show you pictures of these. Scroll down. UFO disclosures, okay? Keep going. Clear on down. Pictures of them. These are all videos of UFOs. All videos of UFOs that they have. All this stuff's going to be released. Keep going. Where are the pictures? I'm looking over here and see where the heck I missed it. Because they showed pictures of the different tribes. Aliens, number nine. Number nine, I'm sorry. Pull up number nine. Oh, is that where we had before? Daggone it. They told about the type of bodies, the four different types of bodies, showed pictures of them. I'll try to find them. Glenn Claremont, come on in real quickly. Glenn, why I look for this.
Yeah, I find it very interesting that Steven Spielberg's new movie called Disclosure Day is premiering on June 12th. So are they trying to prepare the American people for something? Just asking.
Yeah. Hey, folks, are there really, come on now, are there really skeletons of giants in the Smithsonian? in the hidden areas. And again, I'm going to tell you why this is so important. If they can show, if they could prove the existence of giants, then the Bible's true. Vinny, that'd be a boom. And so they're going to fight for all they can to hide this stuff from you. Boom. Now, question one, I can't believe I can't find that picture. That gun, it showed the different types of them. Do I have that? I don't have that. No. I know it's in there. And so the battle is the revealing, the unveiling. It's coming here at the what most people would say is the end of days. Is it real? Things, men's hearts failing them for fear for things coming upon the earth. Okay, try this one for me. Ask yourself, it says trans nuts. And I want you to look, I don't understand what transgenderism is. It's new, isn't it? Although we used to call it cross dressing, right? We used to call it cross dressing. This is something else, isn't it? I got this from David Arthur, by the way. And you tell me, friends, that there isn't some type of deep, dark, demonic activity going on in the lives of these people that we're seeing here. Number one, just in general, what could make a man think he's a woman? Or a woman think she's a man? Or how would science, who all of science for all of history, DNA, DNA, what makes somebody a woman? What chromosome makes somebody a woman? Somebody help me out there.
XX.
I'm sorry?
XX chromosome.
X.
I can't hardly hear you, right? It's chromosome.
X.
Say it again.
They were saying XX. Which...
XX and XYs, right? Scientifically proven, XX and XYs. And transgenders have XX or XY. They don't, folks, the DNA doesn't necessarily match who they are, okay? Now, have we ever considered the spiritual significance of what's going on? Watch this. This is from David Arthur. You tell me, folks, is this demonic? Go ahead.
Emily, how are y'all doing? We are also the Beast.
We are also Jack.
In despair, my skin's dying because surrender it. I'm done lying to myself for this, for all the wonder and believing, man, it's making me weak.
I've moved forward now, and I've gone back to being a child. I don't want to be an adult right now, and I just live my life like I couldn't when I was in school. I have a mommy and daddy, adopted mommy and daddy, who are totally comfortable with me being a little girl.
Anybody who is using this as an opportunity to villainize our trans community or any other community out there has lost their sense of common humanity.
Hang on a minute. Folks, trans community, do they all live in the same place? What the hell is he talking about? And by the way, let's say transgenderism is real. How many people suffer from it? Huh? Go ahead, keep going.
Are hoping that we can have gender affirming here for our trans kids.
Let's be clear. This is life affirming and life saving healthcare.
If young people lose access to the care that they need, that they have no doubt that transgender youth will die.
Minnesota ranks the highest per capita for being a safe haven for transgender individuals in Minnesota.
Denver shooter was trans. The Aberdeen shooter was trans. The Nashville shooter was trans. The Philadelphia shooter was trans. The Iowa shooter was gender fluid. The Colorado STEM school shooter was trans.
And we have sued them for gender-affirming care. Yes, we are not going to scapegoat our transgender community.
On this Transgender Day of Visibility, we must continue to make focused and ongoing efforts to end inequities, eliminate the impacts of injustice.
I said last year, especially to our younger transgender Americans, I'll always have your back as your president so you can be yourself.
My best to come to terms with living in a human body. My name is Horace, and I'm a red-tailed hawk. In our world, I do have the body of a hawk, but while fronting, I consider myself a therapist.
Hi, guys.
Boom. Boom. Folks, why won't we call it mental illness? Or demonic oppression or possession. Why won't we do it? Why won't the church stand up boldly and say, sorry, you're ill?
Thank you.
Why it doesn't get, look, we don't hate transgenders, but we hate what they do. Try to transform our entire culture to this deviant, acceptance of this deviant condition, whatever it is. We wouldn't do that. Why are we doing it? Because, folks, it's spiritual. David Arthur, I see you popped in. Are you listening to what we're talking about, Dave?
Hey, Coach, you know, just like the video that you showed about the fallen angels, we can take some of those words and apply it to this. That's exactly what we have right now. A bunch of experimentations and horrible deformities and abnormalities running rampant all around. We have children and adults being mutilated, being sterilized, chemically castrated. I mean, this is exactly what happened, right, before the flood. This is exactly what it was. I mean, they now have XXY or XYY, whatever it is. It's an abnormality because of all of the synthetic poisons, whether they're hormones or medications that they've fed into people, all of the BPA and everything from our food to the air we breathe, everything has caused all of these abnormalities with these children and with this now DNA, another DNA strand. But it's not another DNA strand, just like intersex is not another sex. They're abnormalities, they're deformities. And this has been going on since the beginning of time, because Baphomet has been around since the beginning of time, and Baphomet was the original trans demon. So that's their God. That's who they worship. And the church isn't going to tell them that they're oppressed or possessed or demonized, because then the church would have to talk about deliverance. And the church has already removed deliverance from the discipleship process.
Dude, you're nailing it, man. You're nailing it. So, Spencer, just because I'm going to send you this. Oh, my goodness. Gender-affirming care.
I say one more thing, Coach, before I mute again. But I am now heading to Massachusetts to speak to a small sex offender group. And the person that runs the group told me that in the last 6 months, four of their group have become trans identified. Four adult men have become trans identified.
Wow. Folks, it's spiritual. Hey, Spencer, I'm sending you something right now. I finally found it. Different types of, this is the government, all right? Different types of beings. Spencer, I just sent it to you. Pull it up and take it to the 8 minute. Did it come through yet? 8 minute and 50 second mark. Folks, bear with me. I'm telling you, it's worth seeing. It would be, Spencer, be number 8. Pull up yeah, that's it. That's it. That's it. Okay, scroll down. UFO disclosure. Folks, they're going, look, this disclosure is coming. It's coming. It's coming. Okay, go to the 850. Turn that on. Go to the 850 mark. Okay, folks, they've already verified. Right, that'd be good right there. Folks, I don't know who this guy is. Okay, I don't know who he is. But I want you to watch. They've already verified. Just play it.
Aliens and humans in creating hybrids in this program. Philosophy PhD and author Jason Reza Giorgiani made the explosive claims during an appearance on the American Alchemy podcast. He said he, quote, learned of the alleged program from Lynn Buchanan, a retired U.S. Army sergeant and former remote viewer who participated in the CIA's psychic espionage initiatives. Giorgiani alleged that the intelligence agency is scouring millions of genetic profiles from Ancestry.com and 23andMe in search of DNA linked to a race of extraterrestrials known as the Nordics. Now, in the event that you're out of the loop of what he's talking about here, the Nordics were part of these quote-unquote four alien species that have allegedly been pulled from crashed UFOs. You remember this? This was according to an ex-government researcher who made this claim. And here is the four types of aliens.
Mantis, specific class intersectoid. Height 6'7", large compound eyes, highly agile, excellent eyesight, telepathic abilities. And they have grays. You hear them talk about little grays, right? Hey, folks, you think I'm crazy? Men's hearts are failing them for fear for the things that are coming upon the earth. The grays are little guys. They're four foot, they're my height. You got large black eyes, gray complexion, slender build, and advanced technology. Hey, folks, this is what the researchers have shown. Okay, now I'm not making it up. Then there's the reptilian class. And they're 6 to 8 feet tall. Reptilian features, highly intelligent, strong and resilient, and are tapped into advanced technology. And then there's the Nordic. They're 6 to 7.5 feet tall. Human-like appearance, advanced intelligence, peaceful nature, and highly advanced society.
Hey, Coach, it's interesting. Admiral Byrd, when he flew over the Arctic, okay, he actually made reference to Nordic-looking people.
Right.
It, very interesting.
Hey, Glenn, folks, are you picking up on this? Do you understand that the government is about to release information on? Do you understand? I'm not making this up. What's the title of this? Government number one. Number one, UFO disclosure, alien DNA, and days of Noah. That's what it is. Trump's going to tell us about more UFO disclosure videos coming. Coming. The whole world is going to be deceived. Saw that one. Put number 8 up there again. Open it up. I want to hear from you. I don't care if you think I'm crazy. I'm going to tell you this. Most people you go to church with are going to think you're crazy. Get number 8. These are all video US UFO disclosure 2026. The Department of War releases a second batch of flying saucers. Whatever, call them whatever you want to. This technology has been hidden from us for whatever reasons, right? Same as the Nephilim, the giants, all of it. All of it. The mixing of the blood. Crazy. Come on in. Come on in. Hey, Betty. What percentage of people that you go to church with have any idea what you just saw?
2%.
You're being high. That's high, right? You may be the only one. Alice says the Department of War forced all to get vaccines for COVID. Yeah, that's right, Department of War, right? Why? Why? The mixing of the DNA. Folks, understand what's going on. The mixing, the polluting, the destruction, the poisoning of the DNA. Huh?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, I'm just going to sit here. Somebody come on in. I've talked enough. You already think I'm crazy. Now, let me share. Let me change. I got to get this in just because I'm proud of him. Hey, Spence, pull up my old buddy, John Brokoff, number four. It's a whole different topic. You guys know John, right? I saw this. John Brokoff bombed abortion clinics. He made sure nobody was in them. He did time. This little video came out of John. He's a hero, by the way. Go ahead, play it.
John Allen Brockhoff is a friend of the preborn who travels with explosives in his hand. All across the countryside, he's the baby killer's thorn, but he's never known to harm an innocent man. It was down in Cincinnati, a time they talk about, with a gas can and a match, he made a stand. And soon the baby murder mill by fire was gutted out, for John is always known to lend a helping hand. All across America they murmured to their shame, but there was nothing wrong nor evil in his creed, and the babies that he rescued there might not even know his name, but they can feel his love and know, let bricks don't bleed.
I wonder how many people are alive today because John Brokoff did what he did. They don't even know it. Burned down that clinic. People couldn't go to the clinic. I even hate that word. Couldn't go to the abortion mill and murder the baby. They couldn't had to bring the baby, had to have the baby be born. Go ahead.
John Allen Brockhoff is a friend of the preborn who travels with explosives in his hand. All across the countryside, he's the baby killer's thorn, but he is never known to harm an innocent man. It was down in Cincinnati, a time they talk about, with a gas can and a match, he made his stand. And soon the baby murder mill by fire was gutted out, for John is always known to lend a helping hand. All across America they murmured to their shame, but there was nothing wrong nor evil in his creed, and the babies that he rescued there might not even know his name, but they can feel his love and know that bricks don't bleed.
Bricks don't bleed. That means didn't hurt nothing. Blowing up that thing didn't hurt nobody, didn't hurt nothing. In fact, saved a lot of people, huh? John Brokoff, 2,744 days, I think he served. Didn't hurt anybody. Saved lives. Ray, come on in.
Yeah, God bless you, John Brokoff. He's he's one that picked up the cross and followed me. And counted the cost. He knew the cost could be severe. But man, that I love that brother dearly. He's
hey, Ray. He's good. Let it be known. We're not encouraging anybody to go out and do destruction. No. We're not right, huh?
No, but he felt deeply in his spirit. These children are being murdered. And according to scripture, we're to defend these little ones from being murdered. And how better way to do that? Even Pastor Matt Torella, one day, he chained himself to the abortionist car after following him and finding out every morning he stopped to get coffee. And during that time, he went up to his car and chained himself to it. So these kind of efforts, you know, kudos to those that do that. That's all I can say.
Amen. He laid it on the line. Joe Allen, come on in, Joe. Come on, folks. I'd like to hear from you. Come on.
A lot of us that have been with you for a long time, Coach, got to know John. Yeah. And one of the stories that he used to tell us when he spoke to the crowd of us when we had our functions is while he was in prison, he liked hamburgers. And a couple guys, he'd go up and ask for a hamburger again. They sneak it across the food line. And he noticed the attendant of the food service noticed that people were coming by John, give him hamburgers. So the service attendant went up to John and asked him, why are you getting hamburgers from everybody? And he told a story about abortion clinic. The service attendant said, if I knew that, I would fill your plate up with hamburgers.
Huh? No, even the guys in jail recognize the guy who shouldn't be in jail. That's right. Amen. I would have John come on and tell the story. Dave Alice, come on, Dave, or Sherry, both of you.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. Thanks, Coach, for playing this. John is a very courageous man, obviously. And one thing that John, if you read his book or talk to him, he tells about, he's a Vietnam veteran, and he said he came back from the Vietnam War only be spit on by people that called him a baby killer. But he thought it was interesting that the people who were spitting on him became the largest generation of killing babies ever. The irony.
And again, I circle back around, same thing. Church turns a blind eye to it. Just turns a blind eye to it. Folks, we can do intrauterine surgery. Meaning that we can do surgery on the baby inside the mother's womb and then deny it's a child, let him abort it. So, sick. And all of it, again, being done with the approval of the American church. Hey, I've been all over the place this morning. Been all over it. Come on, somebody come in and rescue me. We've got 7 minutes left. Your opinion matters here. Quit looking at me. Make me nervous.
We need more John Brokaws.
Well, we do. You know what? We have to ask. Remember, friends, it's in Matthew. Jesus said it'd be better for you to put a millstone around your neck. See if you can find it, Spencer, so they don't think I'm lying. What did Jesus say about millstones? You could probably just Google that. There it is, Matthew 18:16. Jesus said, but whosoever shall offend, Spencer, go to Webster. What's offend? Words mean things, folks. Words mean things. Offend. To attack, to assault, to displease, make angry, to affront, expresses rather less than make angry, without any modifying word, is nearly synonymous with displeasure. So whoever assaults or attacks one of these little ones who believe in me, it'd be better for him that a millstone or hanged around his neck, and he would drown in the depth of the sea. I don't have time today. Maybe on Monday, I'll get to it on Monday. I want to talk a little bit about repentance. Really what repentance means. Doesn't mean just, I'm sorry. A lot deeper than that. I'll try to get to that maybe on Monday. Randy, come on in. You doing okay, Randy? You were sick there for a while. You doing all right?
Yeah, I'm getting well, Coach. Yeah, I'm doing good. You know, Coach, Jesus, when he flipped those tables over, you know, he made a whip. He did it twice. He made a whip once, right. And he whipped people. I mean, is that violence, Coach? No, maybe. And when the stampede went through the temple and all those animals went to running, wonder how many people got run over and hurt, you know? I'm sure there was several. So, if God did that, Coach, there's a time when that there's something about righteous anger that it just the results happen when that happens. And, you know, what John Bronkhoff did, Coach. I'm hearing myself, Coach. Somebody
might want to. No, we got you good. We got you good here.
Okay. He didn't want to hurt anybody, Coach, but what he did was a righteous act. Now he had to pay the price for it. I mean, you know, when you go stand in the front of an abortion clinic and you get thrown in jail and you do time for it, you know, that's just what we do. That's what happens when you put yourself in front of
God. Salt of the earth. That means being salt of the earth. That's right.
Okay, so my point is, Coach, looking back, John paid a price most people wouldn't. You know, so what I'm saying is how many of us will really have the courage to do what God needs done in the moment. I'm not advocating violence. I don't hurt anybody. But when something happens and somebody gets hurt, you know, we can't control all that, and neither can the other side. So it would be hypocrisy for anybody to come against the people that do put their body on the line, and then somebody gets hurt because of it. That's
the Bible says. The Bible says that from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God has suffered violence, and violent men take it by force. What, folks? Do you understand what it means to violate? Spencer, real quick, man, real quick. Webster, what's it mean to violate? See, violence doesn't necessarily mean guns and knives. Violate means to injure, to hurt, to interrupt, to disturb, to break, to infringe, to transgress. So from the days of John the Baptist until now, people have done what? They've injured and hurt and interrupted and disturbed. That's what they've done to the kingdom. That's what they've done to the gospel. And what does Jesus say? Violent men, take it before us. You've got to fight back. You got to break and infringe and transgress. You got to fight back. We say, well, Coach, spiritual. Well, of course, it's spiritually. But, huh? The men of Issachar understood the times in which they lived, knew what it was that they needed to do. What did Gideon's army do? What did they heard from the Lord and they went. They did. Sometimes violence is good. You understand that? Oh, I know the FBI. I know they're out there listening to me. I am not advocating anybody do anything, but the Bible says that they have violated those little ones. And we should not put up with it. Dave, close this out here.
Yeah, John Brokaw exposed the cowardice of the church, and that's why they hate him.
Oh, they ran from him, brother. They ran from him. That's not the Christian thing to do, right? Right? I cut you off there, Dave. He did. He exposed, right?
No,
that was the church is condemned what he did. John Brokaw went there. I have to get him on. He staked it out for days and days and days and days and days. He knew when it opened. He knew what time the doctors came. He knew what kind of the nurses came. He knew everything about it. And when he went there, he knew there would be no one there. He knew it. And he bombed it when no one was there. Wow. Hey, folks, you know this, don't you? The FBI listens to this show. So I have to give it a disclaimer. I'm in no way, shape, or form telling you to go out and do anything like that. No. But from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God's been violated. Huh? Are you kidding me? They kick God out. They make fun of God. They kick him in the teeth. Everything about God, he's getting beat up. And where's the emissaries, his adversaries? Wow. Have a great weekend. See you on Monday.